We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DiTullio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 7 o'clock tonight. Then we'll throw it to the LSU Radio Network right here on the Big 870, and it'll be the Matt McMahon Show. Bob, they are estimating that what could be over $200 million bet in the state of Louisiana on Super Bowl Sunday.
That's just in Louisiana?
Just in Louisiana.
Man, people got a lot of money to spare, right? I mean,
it's estimated on the Super Bowl.
Now,
prop bets, game, that sort of thing, but they are estimating $200 million just in the state of Louisiana.
Well, the thing is, listen, it's all a matter of fun, and you do a little gaming, but don't neglect your family.
No.
If you got a paycheck, you got to feed your family, you got to pay your house, do whatever.
Yeah.
So you have to gamble responsibly. Just
that
do it
in repo
fun.
Man eventually come yeah, get yeah, the yeah, car yeah. and that, everything.
But that's unbelievable, thing. That number, Mike. $200 million just in Louisiana.
$200 million. And, one of the things, we're talking about Kim Mulkey. We'll try to get Kim on tomorrow in leading up to the game. But Kim was like, man, I'm sure glad that they put us in the afternoon. That, you could watch
right.
LSU play South Carolina, the two undefeated teams in women's basketball, play against one another. Because she said, I know as it gets later in the day, all eyes will be Kansas City, Philly.
Well, Mike, and you're talking about the gaming and that, more people, like the casual bettor. You got the professional gamblers, you got the hardcore fans, but you look at the casual bettors. You know what they're intrigued by? I'm going to talk about this more during the week. But they're more intrigued. They're going to write a lot more tickets on prop bets than the game.
It's always been like that, Bob.
What I mean? Like the prop bets, something that's weird or what's going to come. Like something so easy as about like a choice, for instance. What's going to be the first turnover? Is it an interception or is it a fumble? I was reading where, like, an interception, for instance, might be minus 170, meaning that you need to bet $170 to win 100. But then a fumble is listed at plus 140, which means you bet $100 to win 140. So that's what it seems like the casual bettor, not the professional gamblers and all that, who diehard fans, that's what they're more interested in, all of these prop bets. And, Mike, there's anything I heard, like, on a menu anyway where you look at a BetMGM, Caesars, whatever it might be, that up to, 2,000 options, on the menu available in the different prop bets. Like, some, it might be 700 to 800 or 1,000, somewhere in that the number. But even as much as 2,000 options on a menu available, the different type prop bets.
I'll never forget this story that you're bringing up, prop bets. This is a story that goes back to Buddy D, and he goes to Governor Edwards, then Governor Edwards, Edwin Edwards, and ask him, listen, could you talk to Tom Benson about hiring Mike Ditka? And, Buddy's like, Mike, that will be on my tombstone one day. I'm the guy that sort of pushed for Ditka, and I actually went to the governor to push it. So he's sitting there with the gov, and he said, man, he said, Governor Edwards never made a comment. He said, I spoke to him for about 15 minutes. And I said, Gov, what do you think? And he's like, buddy, I'm all for it. You know why? I made the most money on a football game betting on the Bears and Mike.
The mid-'80s and 85.
He said, I bet on the over in that game, and I also bet on Refrigerator Perry scoring touchdown. So he was more concerned with the prop bets that the Gov had made. And when you said that, man, it popped into my head.
Yeah.
And so, Buddy tells me the story, so I asked this to the Gov when he was alive, and he was like, Mike, that's exactly what I told him. That's exactly what I said, man, I'm not going to tell you exactly how much money, but I made some really good money off those prop bets with the Bears, Refrigerator Perry.
And Mike, I think when you look at the casual fan and you think of prop bets, I think you have a ton of people that would just bet the props, and they don't really care who wins.
How long the national anthem is going to be, all that stuff.
They don't care who wins. That's really a way for them to enjoy the game and not worry about the outcome.
Listen, it's a lot.
Because they might have no connections to the Chiefs or the Eagles, but they like pro football, and they like the parties that they're going to, and so they can enjoy the prop bets that way.
Yeah, and it's almost like fantasy football to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not pulling for a team. I'm pulling for a player. That's where my money's riding, on that player.
So what
not
do you
necessarily
think, what do you think right now, Mike, as we're going on a break, like a turnover? You think there will be a fumble before an interception or an interception before a fumble? I think the odds are more you have an interception.
Yeah, I would bet on the interception before the fumble on that. And so, and the thing is going to be on the Mahomes bets, because one thing with Patrick, he attracts a lot of gamblers on touchdowns, yardage. Patrick gets a lot of those put in his manner. We'll be back with more Second Guess and Wilson Alexander from the Baton Rouge Advocate talking LSU Tigers right after this break on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Second Guess, Mike DeTella along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Adam Schefter is reporting this, but Brian Flores, it looks as though he is the new defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. Bob and I will talk a little bit more about it after our segment here with Wilson Alexander, but Brian Flores on a defense that, to be honest, Bob, they underachieved last
year. The Vikings?
The Vikings. Well, their offense scored.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. Mike, I'm almost sure the Vikings, they had a horseshoe up there, you know what.
I
think they set an NFL record. They had 11 wins by
one score or less?
Yes.
That's not going to happen again. That's not going to happen back-to-back years.
They won 11 games by, like 4 or 5, 6 points, whatever. Never happened in the NFL. And look how the Saints, when we played them in England, we hit the double doink.
It's a double doink. But they won
a bunch of games like that. No, their liability, you might say, well, we need a different quarterback, Kirk Cousins, but their defense.
Man, they gave up a lot.
Yeah. And so that's where Flores is going.
So Brian's headed there. Brian's a guy that, man, I met him a few years back. Comes to the Louisiana Line Camp. He's good friends with Pete Jenkins, and able to bring him in, and I knew right then and there he was going to be a head coach one day. We have on our talk and text line from Oakland Heart, Wilson Alexander from the Baton Rouge Advocate, talking LSU. And, Wilson, before you know it, it's going to be LSU spring ball. So thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good, good. Wilson, the big difference, I saw you wrote the article last week, LSU offensively. Man, offensive line. When you think about 4 to 5 starters coming back, you have Dellinger, who has seen a lot of playing time, that can come in to fill inside. You can't eliminate the fact that maybe there's a freshman out there that you may have to reshuffle your offensive line a little bit. But when you look at LSU offensively, the two things stick in mind. One, you've got an experienced quarterback that has won big in the SEC in Jaden Daniels, with a really talented backup in Garrett Nussmeier, and offensive line play. Much better than what certainly Brian Kelly inherited.
This is a much better situation, as you're saying, that LSU was in this time last year. This time last year, Jaden Daniels wasn't even on the roster. I don't think at this point he was even in the transfer portal just yet. That happened, you know, around this time last year, and there was so much a transformation on LSU's offense that happened really just within the course of, you know, a year. And now LSU, all those pieces are already in place. Instead of trying to sort of mix and match and figure out who's going where and where these position battles and all this stuff kind of up in the air and just kind of making it work and making it work to a, you know, pretty successfully, I would argue. Obviously, LSU won the SEC West and it finished fourth in the SEC in scoring. Now all that stuff is back. It was only two really, you know, starters departing to the NFL with Kayshon Booty and Anthony Bradford. And, of course, Dre Jenkins, a key contributor, but didn't start necessarily every single game. He's off to the NFL as well. But there's so much that's coming back that LSU's in a really good position offensively. Get this, of the four high-scoring SEC teams, LSU is the only one that brings back its quarterback. Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia all have to find new quarterbacks. LSU is not in that kind of a position, and it creates a lot of optimism around this group heading into this spring.
Yeah, like you say, Wilson, look, leads LSU to 10 wins, SEC West title. That's why I like the Fighting Tigers with Jaden Daniels. Well, you look like who he's throwing to. And you look at Malik Nabers, he emerges LSU's top offensive weapon, and what have you done for me lately? Look in the Citrus Bowl, 163 yards receiving, a touchdown, and he looks very impressive. He looks strong in traffic. I was reading where you wrote also just all-around receiver, but who is going to emerge around him?
Yeah.
Is that who do you look at besides Malik Nabers? Is it Aaron Anderson or what? Maybe in the slot, I know, but he transferred from Alabama. But break that down, because everyone's familiar with Malik Nabers, but what about, like, when you need two or three weapons there?
Yeah, Wilson, the other thing is, who do you think might be that breakout guy at wide receiver? That's a lot of young talent on this team, but there's a difference between production and potential, so to speak.
Absolutely. In the wide receiver room, who's that number two, who's that number three, and who's rotating in? Because we saw this past season that LSU's going to rotate a receiver if it has the guys to do so. That's probably the most interesting thing to watch on the offensive side, because it's the part that's unsettled. Brian Thomas is somebody who certainly comes to mind. You know, he's got that length on the outside at 6'4". He's been pretty productive for 2 years, but at the same time, while he had 5 touchdown catches this last season, he hasn't gone over 400 yards receiving in his first 2 years of college. And, you know, that's not a knock necessarily, but it's just like, okay, now this is the time heading into his junior year, but there's going to be a little bit more on him to step up. He's got an opportunity to do so. He started a good bit last year, especially down those last couple of games, and he's got a chance now to really cement himself as a number two and continue to kind of take that step into, like, the elite proven SEC receiver instead of just one of the receivers in the rotation. Aaron Anderson, who you mentioned, is really intriguing. You know, 5'9", fast. You know, so you would think of him as kind of maybe a slot guy, but LSU sort of moves his receivers around. Like Malik Nabers will probably take snaps out of the slot as well. But Aaron Anderson is somebody who is really promising and didn't play much at Alabama, had some injury stuff early in the year, really didn't play at all. But we saw what he did in high school, and if that can translate, then he could probably play, you know, right away in some capacity. And then you've got a whole bunch of unproven guys behind them. I mean, Kyron Lacy, you know, he was part of the rotation last year, but he's going to have to, you know, continue to take another more strides. Chris Hilton is really, I think, an interesting person to watch, because if he can stay healthy, he's got game-changing speed that you don't really have elsewhere outside of maybe Aaron Anderson on this team. And if he can stay healthy for a season and show what he was able to do in high school that could translate to the next level, he's one to watch for sure. Then, of course, you got four freshmen, some of them really highly touted, particularly Jaylen Brown and Shelton Sampson. But, you know, you kind of got to get into the college game and see how they do before you really put too much on them and, you know, start showering them too much with praise.
Now, Wilson, looking on the defensive side now, for the second straight offseason, look at LSU, completely rebuilt the cornerback room after bringing back only two corners. And then you got you signed four transfers, you got three freshmen. What is your take on that and the significance of that? Then you even look at the nickel safety or the safety position. I mean, when you get like four stars, five stars, and I thought this is intriguing, like Sage Ryan. Would this be the year that the five-star recruit finally has that breakout season? What's your take on him and really where they're at with that cornerback position? Great season having to reap.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't draw the same sort of attention as like a quarterback battle would, but corner is the most wide open and intriguing position battle to watch during spring practice and then again into the preseason, because you've got a lot of guys who bring some interesting tools and some promise, but nobody outside of probably Deuce Chestnut, the Syracuse transfer, who's really done it over the course of an entire season. Seven Banks, one of the only returning guys, he hasn't really played significant snaps in a few years because of injuries. And then LaTerrence Welch, who's the other returner, he was just a freshman last year, mainly played on special teams. Denver Harris was, started pretty quickly at Texas A&M, but only played started five games before he was indefinitely suspended. So he hasn't done it for an entire season. J.K. Johnson hasn't done it for an entire season after playing Ohio State. So Alexander was really, really good at Southeastern, but, he's got to take a step up to a higher level. There's question marks and things to like with all of these guys, and so it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. And also who, if Javien Toviano, if LSU actually plays him at corner, if it tries him at safety or nickel or something like that, it's going to be fascinating because, these guys can move around a good bit depending on what LSU wants at nickel. That could be maybe somebody like Deuce Chestnut or one of these other corners, because we've seen that be a really versatile position to cover the slot. And, you can have a lot of different kind of types of defensive backs in that role. But Sage Ryan kind of going into the spring is someone you certainly want to see take that next step. He's a former five-star, like you said. Hasn't really broken out just yet. He's had some plays here and there where you thought, okay, there he is. And then, just has kind of always gotten passed over on the depth chart and never really broken out. But he's going to have a chance to, in the spring, really assert himself at nickel and kind of go from there. But it's going to be fascinating to see how that corner, those two corners, outside corner spots and the nickel safety position sorts itself out.
Now, Wilson, when I look at this, obviously these are household names if you're an LSU fan. But then you have to deal with injuries, and you look at experience, and you look at the depth. I mean, I'm expecting Mason Smith to have an outstanding comeback here, but he's coming off the ACL surgery. And you look at Wingo. I mean, to me, that was one of the best stories of the whole LSU Tigers. Recovering now, he won't be participating in spring practice, having a shoulder injury. And then you look at even the safety position, Greg Brooks and Major Burns. You happy with them? But then you worry about the stability at safety, I guess, as far as the depth. Would that be the same thing? But there's a lot of jobs wide open when you consider it. You look at interior D-tackle or like a safety. By Brooks and Major Burns or maybe Smith or Wingo. But after that, it's going to be highly competitive.
Wilson, Wingo is they can't ask him to take that many snaps again. Man, because he looked never got a break. I mean, he looked to be on the field all the time. They can't do that again with Wingo. They got to find somebody else that can play in the middle.
There was a moment at the Citrus Bowl when we were talking to Makai before the game at an event, pre-bowl event, and he expressed how excited he was that he maybe wouldn't have to play as many snaps during the bowl game that he had played all season. Because you could kind of tell that it had worn on him a little bit to play as much as he did. He played more snaps than anybody in college football at the Division I level last season. And it's really, really hard to do that year after year, even in just one season. at a position that is so physical, like defensive tackle, and requires so much. So, yes, LSU wanted to go and get help at defensive tackle, shore up the interior so that would be able to have more of a rotation this season. Went out and got Jordan Jefferson from West Virginia, got Jalen Lee from Florida. You've got Mason Smith coming back off the ACL. And obviously there's a lot of expectations on him to maybe, you know, have that breakout year that you thought he was going to have last year. But you got to see how he can do coming off a major knee injury like that. Jacoby and Guillory coming back. So they've got some bodies, though, as long as, you know, everybody kind of stays healthy, to maybe have more of a rotation. George Jefferson in particular, I think, was a really great addition. Had a productive year at West Virginia, started every game, and looks like somebody who could slide right in and give you quality reps. And so defensive tackle, that'll be interesting to see how it shakes out in the spring, because Wingo is out with the shoulder surgery, because Mason Smith won't be a full participant coming off ACL. You're going to be able to get a really good look at those guys that you brought in, Lee and Jefferson and Guillory as well. And then maybe some of the young guys like Tyge Hill, you know, a freshman last year, and Bryce Langston has been on the roster a couple of years, but the Ed Orgeron staff was really, really high on him when he came in as a freshman. So that's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. And yes, at safety, the depth there is not, isn't proven at all. Isn't great. You've got Matthew Langlois, and then you've got some freshmen coming in, but yeah, past Greg Brooks and Major Burns, there isn't a lot there. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe LSU goes after a transfer safety in May once the portal reopens, if there's somebody who they like, just to add some depth, because Major Burns hasn't actually played a, you know, full season just because injuries have cropped up the last 2 years since he transferred to LSU. So not to say that he can't this year, of course, but just the fact that, you know, football, you got to be able to anticipate having some injuries here and there, and you want to have some depth in case that happens to behind them.
Now, Wilson, looking at edge rusher or a Jack linebacker, I want you to comment on that, or just interior linebacker, just look at the linebacker position. You know, all LSU fans are intrigued where Harold Perkins is, but I'm kind of intrigued because now you have to look in this in years to come. You look at the transfer portal. I mean, what can you tell me about Omar Spites? I'm looking at a transfer from Oregon State. And I'm looking, he was first team. He wasn't like honorable mention, first team all Pac-12 selection last season. So, I mean, I think that's a plug and play right there. That ain't his first rodeo that I'm expecting big things from him, because Oregon State was one of those teams to me that they're winning in the trenches, you know, offensive defensive line, what they did last year. And so it seems like he's one of those aggressive type players that I think is going to contribute from the get-go.
And he can run and hit.
Yeah.
The last 2.5 years, he has started at Oregon State.
Right.
Man, you talk about some accomplishments, and Bob, what you bring up is correct. Man, they were a nasty defense.
Yes.
They were a tough, physical, nasty defense.
So remember that name, Omar Spites?
Omar
Spites? Omar Spites. Remember that? So what's your take on him, Wilson?
He's one of the most important transfers that LSU added because of the hole at inside linebacker. Demario Tolan, when he transferred to Auburn, that really exposed how thin LSU suddenly was at inside linebacker, with Micah Baskerville, of course, also finishing up his college career. You know, Greg Penn comes back, and while LSU fans thought a lot of them would have liked to have seen more out of Greg Penn this season, he was the second leading tackler on the team. But next to him, you know, there wasn't a sure thing at inside linebacker. Well, now you've got one with Omar. Like you said, an all Pac-12 selection, tackling machine. He can play. He seems like he's got pretty good coverage based skills based on his tape. He can play out a little bit further close to the boundary if LSU needs him to. And that gives Matt Howe some options to kind of mix things around on the defense, which, you know, he likes to do, likes to be creative and be multiple on defense. And Omar's got a skill set that'll help him help that happen and allow him to do that. And it was huge for LSU to get somebody with his kind of experience to come in and play right away at inside linebacker. That's absolutely the expectation, is that he will start next season, and then next to Greg Penn. And then let Harold Perkins be what he was last year and continue to evolve in a way that's so interesting, because he can do so many different things. He's got the versatility to play inside, but I asked Matt House before the bowl game how he wanted to use Harold, you know, kind of going into next season. Would he shift into inside linebacker? And Matt House said that Harold Perkins would be more so, you know, that free-flowing outside linebacker, pass rusher, use him in so many different kind of ways and really highlight what he is so good at in getting after the passer and running people down because of his speed as he continues to develop. There's so many different ways to use him, and, you know, you can do that because you've got someone like Omar inside. That was a huge addition. lets LSU develop some of the freshmen coming in that they're really high on, like Whit Weeks in particular. You've heard a lot of buzz about, especially coming off the way he played in the U.S. Army All-American game. And his brother West, you know, they don't have to just get thrust right away into a into a starting role that maybe lets LSU do so much. They might like to have another inside linebacker because they've only got, all of a sudden it's slipping out of my mind, but five or six on scholarship heading into next season. But Omar at least gives you some confidence that, especially if everybody else can stay healthy, LSU will be okay at an inside linebacker.
Yeah, looking at the backups, Wes Weeks, Whit Weeks, Christian Braithwaite, he's a summer enrollee. So looking at the linebacker competition there. Now Wilson, is it still, you think, running back by committee, the solid rotation there? Whether, you know, Josh Williams and John Emery and Noah Kane, short yardage and all that, or Armani Goodwin. And, you look, coming this summer, Caleb Jackson. I want you to comment on that. And then also, I definitely want you to comment on this, because whenever Coach Kelly says something, we all know about Mason Taylor. And as far as what he did, one of the most productive seasons of tight end LSU history as a freshman, and what he was able to do. But Coach Kelly said, who's this Pimpton guy? I mean, I don't know, Coach Kelly, Camorum, whatever, Pimpton says, I don't know that I've had somebody with his raw athletic ability. Think all the players that he's witnessed.
At and that position.
Yeah, and he's coming this summer, Pimpton. He might pimp us out, and we all be like wearing Pimpton shirts. And stuff.
Wilson, one of the things with Josh Williams, man, he's got to be on the pension plan at LSU, right? Man, it's like he's been there for like 10 years.
Yeah, he's been here for a little bit, but, you know, and finally really, you know, getting his chance last season, emerging as that lead back. And even though he'll have, you know, a similar and heightened role this season, to answer Bobby's, you know, question, it will be running back by committee. That's all the indications that, you know, we would have at that spot, because that's what LSU did last year, and the personnel hasn't changed. You know, same personnel, and Brian Kelly said last year, you know, there wasn't Leonard Fournette in that backfield, and that it was going to be running back by committee, and that's what we saw. But what's interesting, though, is even though LSU maybe doesn't have that lead running back, it has the lead quarterback as its rusher. Because Jaden Daniels, what he does with his legs and the way he opens things up in the running game for the rest of the running backs, they don't necessarily need somebody who's going to be, you know, a 1,000-yard-plus rusher, because Jaden Daniels might be a 1,000-yard-plus rusher. And that's a little bit of a different offense than, you know, maybe LSU's used to seeing. And, of course, that gets into the whole conversation about, you know, downfield passing and all those things as well. But it ends up being productive, and it just shapes what LSU needs out of its running backs. It doesn't need somebody like Leonard Fournette necessarily, because of what Jaden can do with his legs. And then you piece everything together around him with running backs that have those sort of different skill sets and, you know, use them and put them in the right spots to really highlight what they do best. You know, they've got, you know, a group of four that, you know, was productive this past season. You would think would be able to take another step, especially John Emery, really knocked off the rust last year. It's going to be interesting to see kind of what he can do, maybe finally reach that potential everybody talked about so much as a former five-star. And so LSU, I think, feels really good about what it has at running back for this season, especially because it brings back Jaden Daniels and everything that he does with his legs, and then lets those freshmen develop. And at tight end, Pimpton, you know, he was a Vanderbilt commit. LSU got him to flip during the early signing period and signed that day. And he's the third tight end signee that they've had. All three freshmen to pair with Mason Taylor, who you would think just continues to develop as a tight end in this system, which places such an emphasis on tight ends, that he should have another good year as a sophomore if he can continue to kind of work on the things that he needed to in his game. But, you know, he proved himself, especially the second half of the season, as a receiver, and should continue to, you know, play well. And then, you know, those three freshmen around him, LSU is looking in the transfer portal, keeping an eye on that for in case a veteran tight end enters that they really like, and they want to try to sign someone with just like a year left to bridge the gap to those freshmen so they don't have to do too much. Because even though LSU had some freshmen really stand out this year, it's hard to, you know, get count on that year after year after year. And so they want to bring in somebody if they can. If not, though, these three freshmen are going to have to play because of the two tight end sets that LSU uses. And you'll see, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, because we just don't know a ton about all of them yet. Mac Markway hasn't played a lot really in high school. Jackson McGohan really emerged as a senior. And then Pimpton is, you know, 6'6" with a really wide catch radius. And so there's a lot to like about him. And LSU will really get to know him more come preseason, because you want to, you know, enroll until the summer.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Man, spring drills right around the corner, brother. So we got some more football to cover. Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Wilson.
Thanks for having me on, y'all.
All right. Wilson Alexander covers the LSU Fighting Tigers football team for the Advocate Times-Picayune. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTelio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, before we got Wilson on, we're talking about Brian Flores, now the new defensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. Here's the crazy thing about the Vikings. They won 13 regular season games last year. Those 13 wins were 7 points or less. And actually five of them were 3 points or less.
So what was that was the record? I know it was NFL record. Somehow they had 11 or was it 9 wins?
Well, I think that would be like 8 points. But 7 points or less, they were 9 games. They won all 9.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's an NFL record.
And here's the crazy part that you would lose in Jeopardy. The Vikings last year offensively scored 424 points. You know what they gave up? 427. How can you win 13 games and you've given up more points than you scored?
No,
losses, they lost a 17-point game to Philly, a 37-point loss to Dallas, an 11-point loss to Detroit,
so when they
a
24-point really
loss to Green Bay.
When they lost, they really lost.
Man, they were really El Stinko when they lost, but you were right about all those wins, 9 games of 7 points or less, and 5 of them were 3 points or less.
Well, you know, there's always new playoff teams year in and year out. That would tell me
that they might not make it
next year. The Vikings aren't going to be a playoff team. It'd be interesting to see. You know, it's amazing how everybody was on the Bills bandwagon coming the summer and all that. Where the Bills are going to be at? Because I'm telling you, they're going to have some teams that, you know, we always look at who's up and coming, but what teams are going to disappoint you?
Okay,
I think the Vikings would be one of those.
What type of team are the Packers going to be next year if they don't have Aaron Rodgers?
No, they're going to be down and out. No, they're going to be like the Packers when I played. The Packers weren't very good.
So that opens the door for Detroit to make the playoffs?
What was his name? Whitehurst, and then they might have had Magic Man Mikowski and all that. No, but, you know, they were lucky. When you think about when you have 3 decades, like from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and all what occurred there, that's what you want as a franchise.
Wait till Jordan Love takes over.
And they could be in for Rudy.
The reality check. Reality check real quick on what type of difference those guys made.
Who you think is going to have more success in the future? This could be a bet. Who's going to have more success in the future? Trey Lance with the 49ers or Jordan Love with the Packers?
Give me Trey.
No, but you think about it. I don't know.
Oh, give me Trey.
Trey Lance or the 49ers or Jordan Love with the Packers? You got to pick one, Joey.
Okay, think about this. Where's Trey going to play this year? 49ers.
Yeah, they need him to play.
Man, look what's around him.
Right. Oh, you got a better team.
You got a better overall team. We'll be back to finish it up here. The Big 870. We're finishing up here on Second Guess. Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Want to tell you that Matt McMahon Show will come on right at 7 o'clock here on the Big 870. Let's see if we can squeeze Jimmy in. Jimmy in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, I'll make it really quick, guys. Number one, Bobby, hey, man, I still owe you that beer. I saw you at the UNO game across the arena, and I had to get home, man. My wife, you know, I have to do honeydews and had to get home.
I understand that.
I'm gonna take care of you next time. It's been a rough season for UNO basketball, but I wanted to ask Mike, what can he give us listeners as far as what he took away from the Senior Bowl? Give us a 1 minute, 2 minute breakdown. What he saw at the Senior Bowl that sticks out to him,
man,
as far as possible Saints prospect.
Offensive line play was terrific. Darnell Wright from Tennessee, Osiris Torrance from Florida, who was a former University of Louisiana Raging Cajun, John Michael Schultz, the safety center from Minnesota, Cody Mark, who played tackle all his career at North Dakota State, played guard really, really well. I was impressed with that offensive line. Evan Hull. Now, I was talking to Jeff about him. You know who Evan Hull, the running back from Northwestern, reminds me of? Ed Podolak.
Number 14 with the Chiefs, Ed Poderline.
You got to kind of hit the Wikipedia on Ed. That's what he reminds me of. When Will McDonald, who played.
The Dolphins beat him on Christmas Day. I remember that.
He was a stand-up defensive end, outside linebacker from Iowa State. I really like. Michael Wilson's a player I am really impressed with, always have been, the receiver from Stanford. Man, he just can't stay healthy. Because if he could, he'd be a day two pick. But it's to keep him healthy. He can also help you out on special teams.
So, Mike, right quick, I have a question for you because this could be under the radar. What about Florida A&M, Isaiah Land in 2021, the Buck Buchanan winner, the top player in FCS? He led the nation with 19 sacks.
Man, he's undersized, but he can get after
it. No, he had a big play. He had a big sack.
He can get after it. Man, to cut that edge, he does a really nice job. Now, he's thin build, and I don't know how much weight he'll be able to put on, but I got to get him there. He reminds me a little bit of Carl Grandison, is that he's an undersized guy that
you
needs
could develop
some
him. Yeah.
Bobby, finish for it tonight.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.